Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Hoenlein returns from far away to bring us reports on the battle zones. But first, I want to bring a report to Malcolm that I hear there's a Medal of Honor that you've received from the President of Israel. Tell me, Malcolm, the ceremony and all of the attendant events, it's exhausting. How are you feeling? Good evening to you.
Good evening to both of you, and it's great to be back. I missed you, and I was, as you said, in Israel and elsewhere, and I was awarded the Medal of Honor. This is the highest civilian award that the President of Israel can provide, and it's a recognition of the things that we've done, and I guess the things they hope we will do. But it was a very impressive ceremony. And before that, the great synagogue of which I'm president tendered a dinner with the Speaker of the Knesset, of Parliament, and many others in attendance, ambassadors from various countries and Muslim ambassadors who came to the wall for a luncheon there. So honestly, I didn't give it a big buildup before I left because I didn't know what to anticipate. But it was really remarkable and very touching, and I appreciated it. But now it just is an incentive for me to work even harder.
We plunge into the news. The word breakthrough is being used in Israeli media right now about the hostage negotiation in Doha. What do you know, Malcolm?
The outline, basic outline, as I understand it, and although many things changed, is that it covers a 45-day period. The initial phase would involve the release of 30-some hostages, a list, both living and dead, that Israel provided and the other side agreed to. I think it doesn't include many of the soldiers who were captured and kidnapped and taken hostage. But it would, and the Israel, in turn, over a period of time, both sides would release, Israel would release up to 1,000 of the terrorists that it holds, including some with blood on their hands, some serving life sentences because they murdered Israelis. So it's a very sensitive subject in Israel. And 59%, a majority of Israelis support doing a deal, but 59% would oppose a partial deal because the second phase would entail a permanent ceasefire. And at the end of the 45 days, there would be negotiations for a permanent ceasefire in exchange for release of all the rest of the hostages and, I guess, additional terrorists. In the interim, there's supposed to be a surge of aid going into Gaza, although that there is plenty of food and stuff in Gaza. It's just being stolen. And the money, by the way, from when Hamas steals it, is to use that money then to recruit additional terrorists, and supposedly they've recruited another 4,000 terrorists, and those that are being released by Israel, unfortunately, could end up there, but they are supposed to be deported to either Egypt or Turkey or Qatar. Now we'll have to see about the implementation and whether, in fact, the ceasefire really can hold.
Thaddeus McCotter, my co-host of American Greatness. Thaddeus, you have a question for Malcolm.
Yes. First, congratulations, Malcolm, on your award.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about Iran's presence in both Syria as well as Venezuela? Something about a drone factory?
Yes, I knew this would be of interest to you and John because of our mutual interest, collective interest in what's going on in Venezuela. But it's another attribute of Iran's aspirations that despite the fact that it's in complete economic collapse, it has increased its military presence in Venezuela. They established a drone development base at the El Liberador air base. This has been reported widely in Argentinian media. Supposedly, it includes the production and training in the use of wide range of UAVs, including the Shahed 131, which was used on the attacks on Israel. This is a big technological advance. They also want to use them for Venezuela to sell to other countries, which would further destabilize the geopolitical situation there. Direct flights between Caracas and Tehran on Mahan Air, which we have talked about before, have been used to transfer Venezuelan gold in exchange for Iranian oil in a scheme that violates the international sanctions. And we believe that a lot of the equipment and stuff was similarly shipped via this route. And that is on one hand, the involvement there. In Syria, we're beginning to see that Iranian troops are being pulled out of out of Syria, and this is creating a vacuum there, in part because the security situation has deteriorated so much that I think Iran felt it necessary to pull out. But the armed groups in Syria have launched attacks on U.S. forces and aided in attacks on Israel. And this is both the Iran-backed militias that we have talked about very often were still in the country, mainly in eastern Syria and some based in Damascus. And Iran's Quds forces fled now to Iran, and the militia groups have disbanded and mixed within the Syrian population. Hezbollah fighters in the west of the country fled into Lebanon. So their presence there, further weakening their network of the Ring of Fire, clearly is in evidence now. Their situation, the economic situation at home, manifests itself in various ways, including their ability to extend the reach. Although they not only has their rial fallen, but they reached another record disclosed in the last day, which is the number of executions, 3 shy of 1,000 that they admit to, up 16%, but many more who are executed without a record, those who, quote, disappear. And amongst these that they acknowledge were 34 women and 9 minors. Where is all the international community? Where is all of the voices on the campuses? Where is all the demonstrations? When you see what kind of horrific pressure and terrible treatment is being meted out to their own citizens. One of the things, by the way, that's been uncovered in a television broadcast deliberately is a missile city, underground missile city that the Iranians have built. And this, while they don't have enough water, they don't have enough electricity. Many of the buildings, including at the presidential compound, are without electricity because they had to make a decision whether they allow some for the heating for people or for electricity production. And it's a reflection of the collapse of the internal infrastructure and the financial crisis that faces them. And at the same time, they are expanding their military drills at their nuclear sites. They're going to go on until mid-March. Both the Army and the IRGC are involved in them. They have an energy crisis. An energy-rich country is facing the fact that they cannot provide electricity, fuel for heating, and overall, the economy is in free fall.
Just a minute, Malcolm, to speak to succession. Any clarity there about who comes after the Grand Ayatollah?
So that's a very good question, but it still seems that Mujtaba, the son of the supreme leader, is the front runner. There are other candidates. There are people talking about who will be eliminated next to avoid the competition to the supreme leader's son. But right now, he has mixed support, let's say. It will be an imposed decision. It has to go to the Council of Guardians, which the Supreme Leader, to a degree, controls. But if he dies, and there could be a rebellion in those ranks, but right now he would have to be the front runner.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organization, Thaddeus McCutter, American Greatness. I'm John Batch.
If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.